We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person, and all of you who are joining us online. Speaking of joining us online, I have an update on Nancy Curry. She is doing very well. She is home. She's actually joining us online today. She misses being here and is hoping to be back next Sunday, but just needed a little bit more time to rest and recover. But she is so grateful for all of our prayers. Last week, we had a wonderful turnout at the CPR and AED training. We had 23 people stay to get trained, and so I'm absolutely delighted that folks would stay and get this training, and hopefully we don't have to use it, but if we ever needed to, we may have saved a life by having that training here. We have something kind of fun next Sunday. It's going to be Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, the game is going to be on TV, but we are having S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday, where we are having a food drive for the Blessing Box. If you'd be willing to bring non-perishable food items to help fill that box up this spring, we would appreciate it. And also after worship, the fellowship committee is hosting a soup and sandwich lunch. And so please stay for that meal afterwards. And then after the soup and sandwich lunch, the annual audits will be held over at the office complex. So anyone who is a treasurer for any of the church accounts, if you have any questions about your audit, please reach out to Herbert Frank, to me. The finance committee is meeting this week to tie up some loose ends for that. That also means that annual reports are due. So every group, every committee that meets at Holly Grove is required to do an annual report. And those are due next Monday with the hopes that we can put it together and get it out that Sunday so you have a week to look it over before our semi-annual meeting. So yes, this week we have finance committee on Wednesday. Tomorrow afternoon we have grief group. Be thinking about the end of the month. We have Shrove Tuesday coming up on the 21st, so we'll have a pancake supper. And then the following day, Ash Wednesday the 22nd, we will have a worship service that evening for the imposition of ashes and Holy Communion. Are there any other announcements that I am forgetting this morning? Well, we have quite a few birthdays coming up this week. Cam McCollum, Karen Beck, Cameron Cecil, Herbert Frank, Myra Beck, Brantley Bunton, and Carol Conrad. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates us, who redeems us, and calls us by name. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and your beloved children. We have turned our faces away from your glory when it did not appear as we expected. We have rejected your word when it made us confront ourselves. We have failed to show hospitality to those you called us to welcome. Accept our repentance for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, and lead us, that we may bathe in the glory of your Son, born among us, and reflect your love for all creation. Amen. Rejoice in this good news. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are adopted into the household of Christ and are inheritors of eternal life. Live as freed and forgiven children of God. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And also with you. Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is from the 58th. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself with your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Jason. Hi, Kate. Hello, Cameron. Hi, Kaylee. How are you? I'm glad to see you. Well, you all remember that I've talked about before that everything we do in worship, we do for a reason or it has meaning? Yeah. Well, I want to talk for just a minute today about why we do some of the things we do with our bodies in worship. Have you ever noticed that we stand up and sit down a lot? We do that a lot. Have you ever noticed that sometimes I bow when I face the altar? Or that after I bless the bread and the wine, I bow? Have you ever noticed that? You have? You always do? Do you know why we do that? Would you like to know why? Okay. Well, for example, when we read the gospel, the reason that we stand is because we recognize that Jesus is present with us in the reading of the gospel, that Jesus is here with us in this very place. And the reason that I bow at the altar, or when the choir comes in and they bow at the altar before worship, they're doing that to show respect and reverence to Jesus. Because when we are at this altar and when we're having communion, Jesus is also here with us, and so we're showing respect to Jesus. And after I consecrate or bless the bread and the wine and I bow my head down, I'm doing that to also respect Jesus, because we believe that Jesus is present with us in the bread and the wine after those words of blessing are said. And so it's a way to honor and respect Jesus. Because although Jesus is one of our best friends, Jesus is also God of the whole universe. And so we want to show respect and honor to Jesus. So isn't it kind of neat that, yes, we use our voices to praise God, and we use our minds to praise God, but we also get to use our bodies to praise and honor God? I think that's pretty cool, because God loves our bodies. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for being here with us. Thank you that you love our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Help us to use our bodies to love you. We love you, God. Amen. You may go back to your seats. And if either of you are interested in some activities or some coloring, if you go past those yellow doors, there's a closet, and you open those doors, and at the bottom there's a white and purple bucket. So get some coloring books or crayons if you'd like. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The seminary that I attended, the seminary that I attended in South Carolina had a long-standing tradition that every Friday night, the community would gather together for a cookout. It was a great way to unwind from the week, to get together with friends. People would bring their children. Some folks would bring their pets. There was even a fire pit that we could just sit around and enjoy one another's company. I love a good cookout. You all know I love a good meal. Potluck, cookout, you name it. I've helped to host cookouts before, and you know, most of the time the host provides the meat or some kind of other protein, a side or two, maybe the drinks, and then everyone else brings sides and desserts. So being new to campus, a few of us asked what we could bring to the cookouts, and we were told to bring our own plates, our own cups, our own silverware, our own napkins, our own meat or protein, our own drink, and a side to share with everybody. Now, I'm certain my eyes were quite large, as I'd never really been to a cookout where I brought everything for myself, except for the side, which was to be shared. However, my good buddy, who is one of those friends who you never are left wondering what he was thinking, because he always shares it, said, "This isn't a cookout. This is just a bunch of small picnics in the same place. You're doing this wrong. You're doing it all wrong." And I can't help but wonder if this sentiment, "You're doing it all wrong," might reflect some thoughts that the disciples and others who followed Jesus might have had. Because you see, the long-awaited Messiah promised by God had finally come, but not as anyone expected. Jesus and the ways of Jesus were not at all what people expected or even hoped for. Instead of overthrowing the government, this Messiah was overly kind, meeting people's questions and needs with simplicity and grace. Rather than flexing his power of authority, the Messiah faced people's fears and anxieties with love and grace. In the Beatitudes that we read last week, and today's text is a continuation of that, rather than promises of getting even, we hear the promise that God will comfort and fill and bless all of those who have waited for this Messiah through their pain and their suffering. And so I can't help but wonder sometimes as I read through the Gospels, did the disciples ever look at Jesus and think, you're doing this all wrong? Which begs the question, have we ever thought or wondered the same thing? God, you're doing this all wrong. Because the truth is that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways aren't the ways of the world. We were reminded of that last week when we looked deeper at what biblical justice is and how we are called to live it out. The reality is, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus catches us off guard. The first will be last, and the last will be first. That Jesus came to love and serve and care for the least of these, and we are called to do the same. Blessed are the poor and the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. It might be hard to admit, but I think we can all remember a time when the ways of God and the promises of God have seemed a little bit backwards. I think we can all remember a time when the ways of God, when Jesus' words were not what we were hoping for. We'd rather him say something else. Maybe there are times where we question God's ability or motives because they just don't always make sense, do they? They don't always meet our expectations. And then how about the fact that God's message of love and joy, peace and forgiveness has been given to us, mere humans, to live out and to share and to tell? And we might say, God, I think you've got this all wrong. Surely the God who is strong enough to create the entire world in a breath has bigger and better and a more powerful plan for saving the world and caring for the least of these than through us, broken and sinful humans. but God's ways are not our ways. And what might seem like God getting it wrong is exactly where the power of God is found. See, the God strong enough to create with breath is also tender enough to take on the form of a tiny baby. The God strong enough to create land and animals and humans is gentle enough to heal with the touch of a hand. The God strong enough to sit on a throne is loving enough to be lifted up on a cross. The God strong enough to calm storms with a word is brave enough to stare death in the face and come out on the other side through the resurrection. And this God, who is strong enough to write the story of God on tablets with a finger, chooses your life, your voice, your heart, your hands to tell the story of God's love and grace. Sisters and brothers, this isn't God getting it wrong, because the good news is that through God's love and grace, you and I are invited into God's story and into God's mission. We are called to be salt for the earth and light for the whole world. And because we are grafted into God's story, whenever we love God and our neighbors, whenever we serve the poor, when we tend to the meek or clothe the naked or serve the hurting, feed the hungry, we are telling the story of God's goodness and love and mercy and hope and grace over and over again. In our baptism, not only are our sins forgiven, but we are adopted as children of God, as God lavishes love upon us and then gives us the call to let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Out of all that God has given us, out of all the love that God has lavished upon us, our response, our charge from God, is to bring light to a dark and broken world by doing good works, by doing justice, by loving mercy, by walking humbly with God. God loves everything and everyone that God created so much that God sent Christ to redeem it all. And now, as God's beloved children, we are invited into that mission to continue out God's work, to share God's grace and love so that through our lives, others may experience and know God. May our lives illumine the world with the love of God, so that all the world may be drawn to the warmth and radiance of the light of the world, Christ Jesus. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Call your people to seek your wisdom in difficult conversations and action. Give the church everywhere courage to repent for the ways we have tolerated and practiced injustice. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Inspire our wonder at creation, from the light of dawn to the beauty of the dark night. Sustain the unseen depths of the ocean to the plants and animals we know well. Bring healing to lands and communities experiencing natural disasters. Merciful God, hear prayer. Instruct the powerful in your ways. Provide upright leadership in business and industry, that workers are not oppressed. Throughout the world, inspire voters and raise up politicians to heed your call for nations to do justice and practice righteousness. Merciful God, receive. Loosen the bonds of injustice. Grant peace to endless quarrels. Put an end to hunger and break every yoke of oppression. Shelter all who flee abuse in their homes or violence in their communities. Be present with those afflicted in any way, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Carolyn, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those now we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Shape our congregation to be salt for the earth. Give us delight in your commandments, that we are generous with those in need. Make us steadfast in our trust in you, ready with tangible mercy and compassion for our neighbors. Merciful God, receive our prayer. The cross and the resurrection bring redemption from sin and death. We praise you for all those unshaken in faith in Christ shines forth in their witness. Keep them in our remembrance and bring us with them into the kingdom of heaven. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. God of all creation,
all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all. Thank you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
We give you thanks
that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son.
By your Spirit,
strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away
as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Follow the way of Jesus.